Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And speaking of the timeline, if you're watching this on YouTube, the timeline down below will be broken up into sections so you can jump straight to the topic that you want to listen to. The topics that we have today are about Zoe, this comedian who says he doesn't date openly gay men. Then we're going to move into why Terry McMillan, author Terry McMillan, left Twitter for a little bit, and then we're jumping into Billy Porter's HIV positive announcement, and then we're going to end off talking about Lil Nas X and City Girls, their new songs. So I'm excited about this. Welcome. We have a guest host today. He's filling in for Brandon, because Brandon, if you remember last week, he started a new job, and he'll be working some Sundays. It's last that we heard. So he will be with us in and out. So we'll see what happens. But Ty, we're happy to have you. So welcome.
Happy to be back. It's awesome to be here.
Awesome. So why don't you give us a quick update on what's going on with you, and tell us what you're drinking today.
Okay. Well, first off, I am drinking matcha tea because I was out in the streets yesterday and yeah, I had a lot of whiskey yesterday. I've been out a couple nights this week, so okay. You know, I'm gonna be nice, you know, chill on the Sunday. Nice matcha, green matcha tea.
Okay.
But life has been a little crazy this week with work and personal stuff, but we here and we alive, and you know, that is me. Dear God, somebody say something, somebody. But yeah, we are here. And so, yes, I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Awesome. I'm glad. Mama Shay had already pointed out we got the Navy black coordination thing going on. I saw it when everybody jumped on. I was like, okay, Navy blue is the color today.
And that was not planned. I literally was like, I'm in a blue mood today. I'm just going to wear blue. Like, I literally have like this like light blue, like, Ivy Park thing going on below. So I'm like, yeah, I'm in a blue mood. Shenanigans are in a full effect. Yes, they were.
Yes. So Marcus, why don't you give us a quick update? Let's know what you're drinking today.
So my main thing, I've spent a lot of this week getting ready because summer school starts tomorrow. And I'm teaching one class for like a month until like mid-June. And my class is every day from 8 a.m. to 10:30. And that's a bit of a problem because since school has been out, I have not been seeing my bed before the hour of 1 in the a.m.
Oh, goodness.
So, I am drinking orange juice.
You're drinking orange juice.
I am drinking orange juice to prepare myself for tomorrow. Oh.
Got you. So, wait, 8 in the morning to 10 p.m.?
10:30 a.m.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. Damn.
Oh, dude.
I knew being a teacher was hard, but I didn't know it was that damn hard.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. Connected, he's saying the melanin is pop. Thank you, sir. You know, I think I just got my lighting right today. That's probably what's going on.
But no, you was glowing in your photos before. You were glowing in your photos you were posting. I was like, ooh, you got the nice hair there. The hair is there.
Yeah, I have been out in the sun. As far, you know, I guess this kind of ties into my update. I've been out and playing tennis and stuff and trying to get back into my physical routines. And yeah, you know, just trying to stay healthy. It's been kind of a hectic week for me. But it looks like I am the only alcoholic today, which is like a change. Because I'm drinking, like, what is going on? I feel like, you know, hell must have frozen over. For me to be the only one drinking today, I have a huge glass of Pinot Grigio. So that's what we're doing today. And I just want to say hello to the people watching. Mama Shay connected. I see you guys in the chat. Everybody else who's in the chat, please, you know, let us know what's going on with you. I'll shout you out. And give us a like on YouTube. And yeah, let's just jump into these topics. So we've got Zoe, who Marcus and Brandon had to clue me in on who exactly this person was. No shade, but I just like, who? And he had, you know, I see the, you know, verified check on Twitter. And I'm like, okay, he's got to be doing something, but I just didn't know who he was. So apparently he's a comedian. He was on Wildin' Out with Nick Cannon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Marcus, I see reactions. I'm seeing reactions on you and Ty. So is there anything else that he has done that maybe I'm missing?
No, it was, well, for me, it was just like, apparently he's a comedian. And I'm like,
He is a comedian. I didn't know he was on Wildin' Out, though.
Yeah, apparently he was on Wildin' Out.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Connected is saying, I'm glad you survived being the co-host or moderator of a certain reality show. So, yeah, if you guys watch The Circle NYC on YouTube, I did do the reunion special on that. So that's another part of my update that I forgot to include. But anyway. So sometimes I can't help but be a little bit shady when I talk, and it comes out that way. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's fine.
But I mean, let's get into what he said and why he was getting dragged on Twitter. So
mm-hmm.
Here's the tweet. He started off this conversation saying, if he's seen with openly gay or trans people, he's not and never was my man. And then I pulled up a different, like, as you can see below here, there was another exchange. Somebody responded saying, it's just toxic masculinity. People think a man can't be around LGBTQ people without being a part of the community. It's weird. To which he responded, I'm not knocking who anybody associates with. I love bridging the gap with the two communities. However, the men I date, it's just not their choice of environment. I'm just clearing the air with certain speculations, friend. So that's what he had to say. I also have a video to share.
Because please.
I want to get the full story on this before we go into it.
Oh Lord.
So let me pull this up. All right, here we go.
Yeah, I ain't never got to see her.
Oh my gosh.
Because I can't date a gay guy.
What?
Openly gay. Yeah, because like.
So how are you gonna get married?
He's gonna be a guy who was with women and then decide to say, hey, I just wanna be with you. So that means he ain't never did nothing with no boy before.
Got you. How come? What's the reasoning behind that?
I don't wanna go out, like, when I go in straight clothes with y'all sometimes, I could be like, oh, got him. In my head, I'm like, I done messed with him. But nobody else knows. You know what I'm saying? I go like, I done messed with him. But if I go to a gay club, they be like, oh, I done dated him. I done had him.
Everybody.
Yeah, just like with y'all. In your circle, in your world. Yeah. It's like, you date a guy and a girl might be like, oh, I dated him. Mm-hmm. Strong. It's like, oh, fuck.
So you want somebody that no other guy has had.
Right. Yeah, I ain't never got to see him.
Okay. So that's what he had to say.
Jeez.
I'm curious what your guys' reaction is to that. Let's start with Ty, because he's already given us some laughs. And I want to hear what your reaction is to all this.
So he definitely wants a DL dude, which I don't want to say I understand, but I do get where he's coming from as far as like he likes this sort of like, yeah, it's like a power thing. He's like, yeah, I got the guy that nobody thinks would sleep with a guy. Like I got like the trade, I got the DL. You know, I get that because I have been there at one point in my life. Okay. But it's toxic as fuck. Like, sorry, but it's so not healthy to want that in your life, because like that person's not gonna respect you. They're not gonna love you openly. And yeah, it's really not okay. It's toxic masculinity at its finest. It's internalized homophobia at its finest. It's just not okay. Yeah. And I hope he gets out of that.
Marcus, what are you thinking?
Child, we just have to join hands and pray, because Amen. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, I'm not knocking, you know, no, well, yes, I am. I actually am knocking. who anyone is attracted to. But my whole thing is, if you're going to do this, like, you got to stick to that. Because, you know, another thing that Zoe does, or has done before, is get on the live and sob because he can't find nobody to love him.
Mm-hmm.
So make it make sense. Make it make sense, sir. Please make it make sense.
Oh, goodness. When I saw this, I was just like, so You, because my immediate reaction, because I think, as I had talked to Marcus earlier today, because I had originally titled this that he's not into like scene gays or something, like he's not into the gay guys who are like in the community. And so, I mean, and that was not necessarily it. He just doesn't like, he doesn't like people that are just openly themselves.
Right.
Which is just, it's just so weird to me. Now, I have never really had that. Like, I think, I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe you're right, Ty. It is a bit of a power thing, of a bit of like, look at me, like, you know, this is, but who cares? Like, if you want to be with somebody, you know, you look for somebody who is, who's happy being what you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get looking for like a DL guy who's going to basically ignore you whenever they see you in person or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get wanting to be disrespected.
There it is. There it is. But
some folk get a thrill from that for whatever reason, you know, like they're still just hung on like, oh, I got me like a man, you know, I got a manly man. And they are just like, and they just love chasing after these folks. But as somebody who's been down that road more than a few times, maybe it is not all it's cracked up to be. No. That is stressful. That is a headache.
But I think, you know, it like, it eliminates the idea that there can be really masculine, like manly men who are out and with, you know, around other gay. Like, so it's like, you can still be attracted to that. You can still have that, but they don't have to be hiding, you know, who they are. They don't have to be sleeping with you on the side while they're with their girlfriend or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be all that.
And that's another thing. Like, I feel like it would be one thing, like, if you just said, like, oh, I want a DM, man. Like, okay, you know, that comes with its own set of problems. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know if y'all caught it from when he first started, like, in the middle of his sentence. He was like, I ain't got to see her. Like, he also talking about getting with somebody who already got somebody at home. Yeah. And that's how people get shot.
So what about this idea that he doesn't want to be with anybody who has been with, and like he does club and like say, oh, that was my ex, and then, you know, all of his friends say, oh, I've been with him, da 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 da, you know, that whole.
See, that's what I understood. But the whole thing is that, because I have been in that place where, you know, like, dang, like, I just met this guy, like, he's really dope. And then you find out that he's been through with everybody in the scene, everybody in the neighborhood, or everybody, or like, you know, he just, everybody, even your friends, like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, I've been with him too. You're like, dang, like, so this is community dick for real? Like, I'm not thinking we're about to, be, you know, start dating or something like that. And all of a sudden, like, everybody has had him. So it kind of, I guess, in the mind, it sort of is like, oh, dang, like, he's not shiny, or he's not like untouched or whatever. Like, he has been touched, or he has touched everybody. And that's just, you know, it is what it is. We are Black gay people. Like, even though we are a big presence in the world, the world is very small. So the odds of you hooking up, or, you know, linking up with somebody that you don't think you has ever been touched by someone, you know, are very, very, very slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marcus, like, my whole I would say, like, my whole thing is like, sweetie, it's just not realistic.
It's not. Like,
you try to find like this golden version man that just hasn't been touched by anybody. And baby, you have to dream him up. You're going to literally have to dream him up. You know, call Wanda, tell her to create you this man, because they don't exist any other way. And really, I don't know if it was somebody in these comments or just in the regular tweets that came with the video. Like, this sounds exactly like these dudes. They'd be like, you know, I want a girl, you know, who ain't got a body count, but she got to be a freak, but she got to do this, but she got to do that. I was like, baby, it's conflicting. It doesn't make sense. You're trying to create this. The math ain't mathing.
The math ain't mathing.
Somebody ain't doing the math right.
Somebody ain't doing the math right. How you gonna want a freak, but they ain't never been touched?
But it's just like, but he's been with women, but you don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? It's weird.
Which is an issue.
That's another issue, but I don't know if you want to get deep into that one.
I mean, let's bring it up. It's just, I mean, like, you know, this guy, potentially has been with a lot of women. If you're talking about your, if he's talking about this is his ideal guy, he's potentially been with a lot of women who could say the same thing. You're just not in the setting for all of the women to say, oh, I've had him. You know what I'm saying? So
that's it's just for me, it's just kind of like you're accepting, like that's what you think that you can get. That's the love or whatever affection or desire. That's the level of everything that you can get, which is sad for him because he's a very handsome, funny dude. So you could pull if you want, but you want the specific type of guy and it's basically bottom of the barrel. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to keep settling for that. And I wish you the best. And I hope you get out of that because it's not a fun place to be. And I can say that from my own personal experience. I'm like, I've been there, got out of that toxic mindset, and you know, we'll get you a nice fully out okay man. It's a great place to be.
Like, have you guys ever been in a situation where the guy that you have dated was like, you know, I'm not really going to acknowledge you?
Yes.
Oh. You have?
Yes.
I've been in that situation where I've been aside. Yeah, and that was actually my point where I was just like, all right, I'm done. Because he had told me, and you know, I don't know if you guys have watched us in the past 40 episodes. This is episode 40. Clap for that. But if you've watched these past episodes, I have talked about, you know, the Palin supporter that I
oh yeah.
Hold on, he had way too many issues. Yeah, way too many issues.
But I keep talking about this guy because it was just so much craziness that went on within the span of like a month, right? Mm-hmm. And he had told me, I think that my breaking point with him was him telling me, oh, you know, I could take you to, you know, the family cookout, but I'm just going to introduce you as like my work colleague or my friend, not even my friend. It would just be like, you know, that, or you know, or if my aunt or somebody walked in here, I would just tell them, oh, this is just a work meeting or something. And I was just like, no, you're not, like, I'm not here just to be arm candy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm your person, you're going to address me as such in front of your family. And if you have a problem with that, then we don't need to be together. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where I was. But I guess you guys have had similar instances. Have you actually gone through with those things as well? Like, kind of keeping a lid on things with a boyfriend or something?
For a short amount of time, until, you know, some sense was knocked into my head. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I feel like, okay, so I feel like, you know, when you're young and you don't know any better, you just trying to find somebody. So you think that, especially if you never had an experience like that before, you just think that, oh, well, you know, this is just how it goes. This is how it is, because we got to be secretive. And it's just not fun, because, you know, it can be, you can have that little 3 or 4 minute, like, oh, you know, we're sneaking around, this is cool. But eventually you get tired of that. Eventually you get tired of ducking and dodging. Eventually you get tired of hiding. Eventually you get tired of having to run out of the house. And it's just like, it's not fun.
Mm. Goodness, you had to run out of the house.
No,
that is, look, I've never had to do that, but that has been my biggest fear. It's like, you know, you go on a hookup or something, and all of a sudden this person who you like, if you know, like if you don't know who what the situation is for real, like if their boyfriend pops up or something, you have to like hide in the closet or some craziness. I cannot.
I definitely had to make a getaway. I never had to like jump out a window, but definitely like pack bags, like plan the escape. Like if they got a knife coming out the door, boom, book it.
Well, to be fair, back doors exist. I didn't do much jump out the window.
True.
Oh goodness. Yeah. So we're gonna. So Connected is asking us to hear that story. I think we're gonna save those for splitting the bill. In fact, let me write that down. We're gonna get the specifics after the show of running out the house.
Oh Lord.
So we will get to that, Connected, just for you. But I think we're going to move into our second topic now.
I just want to end on this note.
Yes.
You know, get you a gay man. Please. It's not, do that. These DL niggas ain't worth it.
They are not.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Mic drop on that.
Mic drop.
Period, sis.
Period.
Okay, so before we move into our second topic, though, I do want to let you guys know, for just $4 a month, you get exclusive access to our Splitting the Bill in our Patreon, and you get access to our exclusive Gorgeois community, and that includes our I'm getting sidetracked here, but yeah, that includes our chat, our Discord chat. And Marcus has also let me know that we also are doing a Twitter Spaces as well. So we're running through the different episodes of Pose this season. We're running through the final season. We're going to give our discussion. So if you guys want to join us, follow me, Brandon, or Marcus, and you'll be able to jump into the Twitter Spaces for that. It's a good time. We didn't talk about Pray Tell's episode yet because I had a whole lot to do this week, so I wasn't able to host it, but we will get into that and tonight's episode as well. So topic number two, we have Terry McMillan, who is known as, who's the author of Waiting to Exhale mm-hmm. and How Stella Got Her Groove Back, and mm-hmm. a bunch of other books as well. She had to close down her Twitter for a little bit.
You don't say.
So let me share her tweet. Let me see if I can pull this up first. Because I have her tweet layered with a response over top of it. So let me pull this up. Okay. So she starts, you can see underneath here, she says, "I don't understand why celebrities have to announce their sexuality. Just be who you are." And my understanding, or at least my inkling, is that this was coming in off the heels of Demi Lovato talking about them being non-binary.
Yeah, non-binary.
I believe that was what this was referring to. I'm not entirely sure, but it was very close to that announcement. And then we have a response from Chris_notcappin. So anyway, these Twitter names are funny. But anyway, he says, "As a straight woman, you have the privilege of people assuming you are the sexuality that you are. Gay/bi people do not. So instead of asking us why we have to, quote, come out, why don't you ask your fellow straight people to stop making assumptions?" Okay. So okay. what are your guys' reaction to what she said? Let's start there. What are your reactions to what she said? Let's start with Marcus.
Okay. So I came into the situation a little bit biased because I've actually met Terry McMillan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's an interesting character. I will say that. She can definitely be abrasive.
Okay.
So I automatically assume like this is some foolishness. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know where this is leading to, but I'm certain there's some foolishness. And it wasn't until like I started like looking at some of the other responses to it that I was like, oh, yep, there's the foolishness. There it is.
All right. Ty, any response to what she said?
I just felt like, girl, you have already gotten dragged for this type of behavior before. And I'm like, your whole husband was your ex was gay. And the girls continually read her for that because she went on Oprah to talk mm-hmm. about the whole debacle. So it's like you already are aware of the situation. So why are you just trying to add fuel to the fire? And it was unnecessary. I love her. We are grateful for her art that she has given the Black community. But, you know, sometimes you just don't need to meet your heroes or hear your heroes speak. because you might get a little bit disappointed. And yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Because I was like, girl, we've been there, done that.
Yeah. I think my reaction was very much like, why are you even talking about this? And I think, you know, I had a similar reaction because I was just like, you know, there is a space for people to come out. You know, I mean, not everybody has to. I don't think it's necessary in all cases, but I think that there is a case for people who want to come out that, you know, they can, and that they shouldn't, that we shouldn't, you know, judge people for announcing it. It would be nice if we lived in a world where you didn't have to say anything, but that's not the reality. That's just kind of where I am with it. And that's kind of how I thought of, I think it was Taraji P. Henson's statement on her show. Now, it was just funny because I had to bring this up because it was just like the reaction to what Taraji P. Henson said and the reaction to this was like polar opposite. Like people were going up for Taraji P. Henson and they were like, you know, applauding her like, yeah, you know, just be who you are. You don't have to be out. But then with Terry McMillan, everybody's like, you know, oh, you know, you should be staying out of gay people's business and you shouldn't be saying anything. And, you know, the whole nine yards. So I'm just curious, like, why did the Twitter community get on Terry and not so much on Taraji P. Henson?
Because the intention with Taraji's show was that she was coming from a place of understanding and just like why do kids or why does anybody have to do that? Like it was from a sense of like I care, like it was a sense of care. With Terry, it was just like, why? You could just imagine how she sounded in that. She was like, why everybody gotta come out? Like you know how some folks in the Black community are. And I did think it was coming off of the heels of the Demi Lovato non-binary announcement, because that was also like their announcement got a lot of negative sort of backlash as well in the same time frame of Terry's tweet. So I believe it's definitely the intention and the subtext.
Okay. Go ahead, Marcus.
And also we have to factor in like the person behind the statement as well. You know, whereas, you know, we see Taraji as this little supportive person who's, you know, trying to, you know, uplift different communities, well, what have you. Whereas, like, kind of what Ty mentioned earlier, we know Terry McMillan from dragging her husband onto Oprah to, you know, start a crusade against DL folk and all this sort of like ideas behind sort of like her view of sexuality and things. So people who may remember that or may have some sort of inkling to, you know, her history might be like,
Okay. I mean, my only thing is, they both said the same thing. I don't care where the intention was. I just feel like when you say something, like, and the thing was, it's like when people were talking about Taraji, it wasn't a, you know, oh, I understand what you're saying, but this. It was, yes, you are right, Taraji. That's what the reaction was. That's at least what the reaction was that I got. And so, like, I could understand if people were saying, you know, Taraji, I understand where you're coming from, but that's not really it versus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like the reaction, I feel like keep the same energy for the same statement. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying you have to run Taraji P. Henson off Twitter, but like, you know, I just don't understand.
I get you.
And I feel like it really does kind of probably boil down to how people see them. Like, we know Taraji, you know, people laugh and people have been laughing at Cookie. I don't even know if the Empire's still on, but people have been okay. Like, people like Taraji. The people who know who Terry McMillan is probably don't like her. Mm-hmm. So it really is just like that person kind of like changed the perspective. But you're right, like that shouldn't really impact, you know, what it is that they're saying.
Yeah. I also wonder, because I feel like sometimes we love a, what do you call it? A clapback. Mm-hmm. So if the clapback is good, then Rich is going to jump on the side of the clapback.
That's true. All it takes is one.
This is true.
And then everybody will follow.
Baby, 1.6K retweets. Retweets. 57 likes.
Right. I'm like, but like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, you know, had if anybody was able to clap back against Taraji well enough, then we would have been having a different conversation. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm just not in, I mean, maybe it's the Aquarius in me, but I'm not an emotional response type of person. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that emotional responses are wrong. You know, sometimes they're very much needed than just a completely, you know, heady response. But I just look at what you say and I'm just like, you know, this is what we say to that, you know? So I don't know, that's just kind of where I'm coming from.
No, that's fair. I think what Connected had said in the chat, it was basically two different situations. One was asking a question to Taraji and the other one was making a judgmental statement, Terry. I think that's why both reactions were what they were. Cause even to give Terry some grace, Taraji had a video component to it. So you could visually see her like asking a question, see her emotions. And so everybody's like, oh, you understand how we feel. We get it. Terry, you know, it's also tweeting. So you're just like, oh, you're just reading this tweet and you already know you have this perception of who this person is in your mind. Mm-hmm. So of course you're going to go, boom, I'm attacked because I feel like you already got an agenda against, you know, queer people because, you know, of your failed marriage. So I think that's,
Yeah, there is definitely a lot more nuance with Taraji's, you know, video. But I will say that Terry McMillan did come back on a Twitter and she thanked people for teaching her and educating her and said that she did not mean to offend.
Okay. Good for her. Good for her.
So yeah, I mean, just to close off that story, that's what happened. I did not see a definite apology, but whatever. You know, I didn't see anything explicit, but you know, maybe that's her way of saying, you know, sorry.
Yes, that is definitely her way.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think we're ready to move in to our next topic, which is Billy Porter's HIV announcement. So I breezed through the big article that he had where he kind of announced it. He said, you know, he was silent about it for 14 years. He didn't want to be discriminated against any further in the entertainment industry. He also used Pray Tell, his character in Pose, as a proxy to say a lot of what he wanted to say. So what are your guys' reaction to this? I mean, it was a pretty big deal when he announced it. So what was your reaction to hearing it? Let's start with Ty.
For me, it was a lot. And I felt a lot of emotions, but the first initial one was like grateful, just because I know people who are positive, been with the people who are positive, and it's such a thing. It's still a stigma within our community, within the Black community, within the world. It's such a huge thing, and it has so many negative connotations. And so to see someone who is so successful as Billy Porter proudly, you know, declare his status and his story and his truth, it's moving. It makes you see like this is still a human, like regardless of, you know, negative, positive, whatever, this is still a human at the end of the day. And all humans deserve to be treated with respect. And I was really just moved by his story and him. I don't know if anybody saw the interview with him on Tamron Hall, and he was going into detail about like he was going through bankruptcy. He was he had diabetes, and then he found out a month later that he was positive. So I was like, he went through some crap, like he went through some tough times, and the fact that he is where he is now, it's just wow, it's inspiring, it's moving, and And I hope it changes the perception of HIV people for the world. Cause I know I had a cousin who reached out to me who saw the interview and she was like, it definitely changed my perspective. And I definitely like have some questions for you, but like what, like I see things a little bit differently now. So his story is actually saving lives.
Good. Marcus, what are your thoughts on this?
Okay. Contrary to popular belief, I have no issue with actual Billy Porter. So I'm happy that he was comfortable enough to be able to kind of like to share his truth with the world. I'm happy that, you know, some good came from that character. So, you know, these are positive things. I hate that, you know, that he felt like he had to hide that, I don't know what the word is, diagnosis, I don't know what it is. I'm sad that he had to hide that diagnosis for so long because he was scared of being discriminated against. And it's just like, man, like you literally cannot win for losing. Like, you're discriminated against when you're black, you're discriminated against for being gay, you're discriminated against for being femme, you're discriminated against for being like, this is like, man, that's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. Absolutely. I mean, I think my reaction to it was like, oh, good for him, you know, that he's able to come out. I think that was my initial reaction. So I think you guys kind of echoed everything that I was going to say, Marcus, especially. I mean, you guys made all the points that I was going to say. So. There we go.
Especially because we don't like Pray Tell, but we ain't got no issue with that man.
Exactly. We know how to separate. We know how to separate the character from the actor.
From the actor.
You know, I have no issue with Billy Porter. And in fact, I think I was defending Billy Porter with all his dresses and stuff. At
you Oscars were
when
you
were. Everybody else was like, what are you doing? But yeah, so, but there have been some negative reactions to this, and I want to ask you about that. One that I even see in the chat, so I'm going to bring that up. So Mama Shay is saying, I'm sound wrong for this, but I feel like it's a grab for attention since the show is ending. And there are a lot of people who kind of echo that sentiment. It's like, is this just a grab for attention? Is this just, you know, you trying to get some clout now? Because, you know, the timing was good because we had that whole episode with Pray Tell dealing with his HIV. I mean, apparently, because I didn't watch the episode, but I know the trailers.
It's a shame.
I'll watch it tonight.
Watch it tonight.
But yeah, I mean, it was right after that episode aired that this came out. And what do you guys think about people who say that this was just a grab for attention? Start, Ty. You can go.
Okay. I feel like Marcus is about, he's just ready.
I had to get my thoughts together.
Well, who wants to go first?
I'll go ahead. So I'm going to say this. I am going to hope that this is not some desperate grab for attention, because then I am going to have a problem with this man. you know, I'm gonna hope that this is not what it is. I also would think that he probably wouldn't need to do that, because as sad as it is to say, he's the one that's getting the most attention from the show in the first goddamn place. So unless he's just full-blown narcissist, what more do you want? So I'm going to hope that this is not the case. It is possible, because people are trifling. I'm going to hope he's not that trifling. But if it comes out, you know, if we find out, you know, in a week or two that, you know, he has this new show, this new role, he's exploring his diagnosis, and, you know, it came out after he came out, I have questions, comments, and concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't he have a Netflix special or something coming out?
Don't tell me that, you for real.
I almost, look, take it with a grain of salt, because I just breezed through the article, but I'm almost positive. I don't think that the article was necessarily pointing to that as a, you know, you know how sometimes people will make a big statement and then at the very end, it'll be like, you know, buy my book or like, watch the show. I don't think that that was necessarily the feeling in the article. So I don't, I won't say that this was definitely tied to promotion for his upcoming projects, but I do think that there was something in that article about him doing some kind of a Netflix something or doing something. I don't think it was necessarily about HIV, but I think it was about him or something like that in there. But so I think that people could make that argument, but I personally don't think that that was where he was coming from. I don't think that that's where he was coming from.
No, I think it was, I just think it was very, I wouldn't say it wasn't planned. I won't say that because where the show is right now, and this, and he actually spoiled the ending of the show. I don't know if anybody picked that up in the interview with Tamron Hall when he was talking about the character Pray Tell and of how he missed like the window of like the drugs that eventually became like Truvada and all those things. He was talking about how he missed it by 1 year. And I was like, oh, you just spoiled something for the show, but okay. But I think it was just so happened to that, the fact that I'm like, hey, the show is talking about this. You are also, you can personally relate to this. And he might felt like inclined because of the show to actually express his truth. Now, anything that follows afterwards, that's, you know, whatever happens. And if he gets more notoriety from it, that's, you know, it is what it is. But I personally think it was just because like, hey, this is happening in the show. I'm at a certain age. He's like 50 something. I'm at a certain age. Like, and that, and people of that generation, they were shunned for being positive or and all that. So he may have wanted to be the change that needed to be seen. So.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, Marcus.
Can we, I don't know how deep you want to go into polls, but can we talk a little bit about Connected's last comment?
Absolutely. But let me see this one here. Okay, so let me read this out for the podcast audience. Connected saying, well, let's be honest. He was the name attached to the show. Also, should Billy take the blame or... Okay, so let me give the context.
Lord.
Let me give the context for people. Because then I'll, and then I'll read this again. So basically, Mama Shay started by saying that that she had a small issue with him and said that... when he told the Pose cast to wait their turn, basically when he got an award for his character, that was dirty as hell. And now Connected is coming in saying, let's be honest, he was the name attached to the show. Also, should Billy take the blame or writing production, or should the writing production team take the blame for his character being larger than the others? And Marcus, now we come in with your response to that.
So I thought the entire reason why we had the white people in the first season was because they were the names. Like, no, but seriously, like, I thought that was the entire reason why we had, what's the one name from American Horror Story? Evan Peters. That was the whole reason why we had Evan Peters, the white woman, Kara, some Mara, I feel like that's what her name was. But that was the entire reason why we had them to Trojan Horse this show, so that, you know, we could get, you know, all these different trans women and so on and so forth as the actual stars. I could be too young. I could be just not well versed enough. But I did not know who Billy Porter was before he popped up on the screen. So I don't know how much of a name he was. So there's that part. And then the other thing about, yes, we did most definitely should put more of the blame on the writing production team for making Pray Tell the center. But like what Mama Shay said, it was something I actually forgot about. Billy Porter ain't blameless either, because he was like, oh, well, you know, they'll get their turns eventually.
Yeah, that was it.
You know, I feel like that was a I'm going to enjoy my moment statement that went wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, that's perfectly coined right there. Left.
I think that that's what that was.
That's what that was.
Right. You're right.
Because I don't think that he, I don't think, I don't know. And maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
I mean, it's kind of, I get where you're coming from, because we're just now in the age where we actually have like out black, gay, queer people and like celebrities, artists, actors, and they're winning. So you kind of don't want to, you know, crap on them because, you know, they're out here. But it's also like, I have to hold you accountable, though. Like, I know you're having a lot of pressure because you're the first, or, you know, you're one of the first. But you kind of got some, you get some issues too, honey. You said some things that are not so good. So we don't have to correct you on that. So I get where you're coming from. Like, when to give grace, when to kind of critique. It's a very hard line, especially when the space that we're at. So absolutely, it's very hard.
So Mama, I'm just reading some of these chats here. Something about a memoir, a Netflix documentary about his life, which will keep him in business with Ryan Murphy. Okay, so that was the quote from the article. Yeah, he will have a Netflix documentary about his life. And then I guess, oh yeah, and then he also has the Cinderella where he's, the Cinderella movie where he's playing the fairy godmother. And we saw, I don't know if y'all saw the picture for that, but
I did not.
I did see the picture. It's pretty fierce. I mean, it's another gown. Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns. With the storyline. We need, you know, beautiful gowns, but story. Well, let's see about that. But you know, we'll cross the bridge.
That's gonna be given. I just, you know, it's just so funny because I can only see him as Pray Tell, and I just imagine the fairy godmother just like yelling at Cinderella.
I'm sorry, I just got the image.
I did too. It was
like, oh, gotta go ahead. Midnight at the ball.
Right. Honey, like, no.
Well, like, how is this kind of, what kind of fairy godmother is this? Because it's not going to be the sweet fairy godmother that we know.
That godmother's going to read Cinderella for filth.
But it might be a good twist on the character, actually.
It might be. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, Billy does it justice.
My goodness. Okay. So speaking of out Black gay celebrities, we have our fourth topic, which we're going to talk about Lil Nas X and City Girls. But, you know, first I want to talk about City Girls.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Twerky Later. Have y'all heard this song?
Say Twerky Later again.
Okay, good. I have not.
Say Twerky Later again. I just want to hear you say it again because that was fun.
Twerky Later. I have to pronounce everything. I'm so proper.
It sounds like you said calculator. That's all I was like. Calculator. Twerkulator. Twerkulator.
What did you say? Twerkulator.
Twerkulator. Stop for the twerkulator.
Is that how you're supposed to say it? Twerkulator. Twerkulator.
Yeah. I mean, that's a Southern in me. That's a Southern in me. No, we abbreviate a lot of stuff.
So yeah. So have y'all heard that song? What is your reaction been to it? I've read a lot of the reactions. I just haven't actually heard the song yet. So this is me being unprepared, but also not. Y'all know my story. I don't want to talk about my music taste anymore. So go ahead.
I felt like there was so much hype from it because of the whole TikTok thing and the dance and stuff. And of course, if you know the sample of where that song came from, and you know, it's time for the percolate. It's time for the percolate. I mean, you know, you already have that, like, oh, this is going to be just like that. And then hearing it, I was like, okay, this is cute. That's it. It's cute. It's cute. It's going to be cute for, you know, like when things start to open up and you at the club, you're like, okay, it's time for the twerking later. And then it's like, all right. And then, you know, the DJ is going to mix it like after like that part that's already in the TikTok, like that one section, he's going to mix it to the next song. And, you know, it's all she wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marcus, thoughts?
You ain't miss much. Like, I literally listened to it maybe like 10 minutes before I got on here. I was like, oh, okay. Pretty much exactly what Ty said. It'll go up in the clubs, but that's because we're not going to be paying attention to anything but the beat. and probably half the folks are just going to think it's percolator.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Albert Ivory Jr. saying, we deserve an extended version. I'm pissed.
Yeah, no, I agree, Albert. Like, I was like, okay, this is it. Like, there's no... Where's the breakdown? Like, is there like a remix happening or something? Because like there was room for more. It felt like, okay, all right, okay, we can hype. Who gonna take it home? And it was like, oh, fade.
The people have been saying that they should have put Santana on the mix.
They should have. Santana would have made it hot. I agree.
The guy, right? The guy, okay, with the nails.
Mm-hmm.
that was talking about Roland Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and,
but hey, Saucy Santana, that's on Walk.
Wait,
hey,
okay, so wait a minute, because wasn't that song a dig at Roland Ray?
Is that true?
I don't know. But I felt so bad because I was like, walk. And I was like, wait a minute. This is so messed up. When I heard,
I didn't know that.
The people said that, but I don't know if that's true. It could be.
I don't know if it's true or not. I wouldn't put it past him. That's why I'm like, oh no. Oh God. I can't listen to that song now. That's so disrespectful.
I hope it's not.
Oh, I'm actually sweating right now. That's so bad. But if it is, that's totally messed up.
But the people were bringing up, they was like, so why the City Girls be on live, you know, with Santana all the time, but they have yet to put him on the track, and half their tracks need him on it.
Facts.
So is he like really good? What's the deal? Like, he's like a really good rapper?
He's decent enough that he can be doing the same thing the City Girls do. Okay. Like, as far as like talent, caliber. Yeah, put Saucy Santana on a song. Like, totally deserving.
Loudly as a skeptic, better than him.
I'll have to listen to some of his stuff. I mean, I've heard the Walk song, so that, I mean, like, the hook got me. I'm like, you know, I heard that enough on TikTok. So I'm like, walk. I'm like, all right, I'm walking.
Nah, he's strutting. Jared was strutting. That's what was going on. little switch.
Exactly. You know, little hip.
Little hip.
Okay, so Lil Nas X. He has this new song, Sun Goes Down. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about this song? Now, I didn't see the video. I listened to like the 2-minute clip that they allow you to put on Twitter. So somebody posted that. And it seemed really good, actually. And you know, I won't say that I dislike Lil Nas X, but I just don't, you guys know me, like these past couple of times that we've talked about Lil Nas X, I'm not the biggest Lil Nas X fan. Mm-hmm. But this song, I feel like, sounded like something I would actually put on my playlist and listen to more than once.
Come on, being no, put on the playlist.
No shade. But Marcus is like, you
progression. Progression. We love to see it or hear it.
I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go for the progression.
So what is your, let's ask Marcus, because I feel like he is like, you know, the Lil Nas X fan.
We don't use the S word around here.
Because you know he's about to say it. I was like, no.
Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, Stan.
Do. Never that. But yeah, no. I really enjoy. I think you should watch the video because it's funny. Because I actually like the video more than I do the song. Mm-hmm. And I like the song, but I think the video really kind of pushed the song into perspective because it's really just kind of like about his life, really, like, you know, how he was feeling in high school and close to home, way too close for comfort. But I think it's really kind of showing like the type of artist that he's trying to be. And it's good to see, because with him particularly, you never really know, like, okay, are you for real or you just trolling? But I feel like particularly like with this song and video, like, okay, yeah, like he does have like some moments of like real like authenticity, like, yeah, no, this is how I really feel. This is kind of what I really want to do. So it's great to see.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that might be why I connected with some, because it's just authentic. Mm-hmm. It's not a moment to try to get reactions out of people. It's just telling your truth. And I think that was what I kind of connected with. You know what I'm saying?
I feel it.
I don't do well with the shock value. Mm-hmm. The fanfare. You know, let me just put something out there. Like, yeah, you know, like I don't like prank videos. And that's like the, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I stay away from. because it just doesn't work well with me. It's just like, let me just get a reaction out of you. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that that's why I, because it just felt like a little bit more genuine, like you said. But Ty, what are your thoughts on the new song?
I loved it. This is my favorite song he's put out. I loved it because, of course, I listened to the audio first, the song first, before I watched the video. And the song is actually super sad. Like, the hook is actually, like, talking about, like, send me a gun and I'll see the sun. Like, basically talking about him offing himself because he's so depressed and suicidal. And I won't say we all have been there, but I know I personally have been at that point. And it was just like, oh, okay, this is really hitting a scar. Okay, we're going to breathe through it. And then I started singing it, and I was just like, oh, I'm feeling it. Like, yeah, I need an instant ease. Yeah, I feel it. I feel it, all the feels. And then seeing the video of him in high school and then the prom and how he's crying because he didn't get to take anybody to prom. And I was like, oh, that was me. I'm crying. I wanted to take this guy to the prom and it wouldn't have happened because the times we were in. So I was like nostalgic and in the feels and seeing him do it live on SNL last night. I was like, okay, you better sing with it. You better sing. You better have a little note. You actually give it a pop show. Cause that's what I was worried about when it comes to Lil Nas X in general. It's like, how are you going to deliver live? Like, are you going to be an actual musician, or are you just like a troll? Are you just, you know, a content creator, or are you an artist? And I feel like with the song, like you said earlier, Jared, is that we're seeing him authentically now and seeing like what type of artist, like Marcus said, who he's like actually trying to be. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to a Lil Nas X show whenever, you know, it's safe to do that. Because, you know, when he did Call Me By Your Name, too, in SNL, I was like, yes, honey, yes, give us this choreography. He had a wardrobe malfunction, and he was still, like, cheeky and still brought it home. I was like, yes, niece, yes, that's how you do it. Well,
exactly. And that was the other thing that I wanted to bring up was this whole wardrobe malfunction on Saturday Night Live. His pants ripped, apparently.
They ripped, honey. It was funny because it was like right at the ending of the song, and he was going to get on the pole, and he was going to get that pole work. And then
what happened when he played with Jesus? Stop it.
He dropped it like it's hot, and that thing said, boom! And you knew he didn't have no drawers on. he held his crotch so tight. He was not moving. He was like, he was just like, I'm not moving because if I move left, you're going to see one touch to go. If I move right, you're going to see this other touch to go. You're going to see another.
If I move forward,
you're going to see boom. So we just go, hold it. And then, like, one of the dancers, like when they did, like, the ending and like, how they were trying to, like, cover it up so he could, like, do, like, his final finish. Like, da-da-da-da. But, oh, Lord, that was funny. You could literally see, like, the innocence in his eyes when they're happy. It's like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. And he was like,
oh, and he just had to keep going. I mean, but look, people learn, like, you know, Beyonce has had plenty of on stage, like live faux pas. But, you know, you just got to get it back up and keep performing. And I guess, you know, maybe next time he won't give the face of shock anymore. You know, maybe he'll rein that in.
No, but it worked. It worked with the video, though. The performance. It worked. It was good. He saved it. So I was like,
feel, you know, Jesus was just like, not too much.
Basically. He was like, all right, I'm going to let you do this much, but put some drawers on, put at least a thong on or something.
Right. That reminds me of, what is his name? Lenny Kravitz. I don't know if y'all remember his
pants. I remember.
And it was at his concert.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures was all over the internet.
Yeah.
And his thing was nice. Out.
It was nice to see.
Showing all his grace and mercy.
All the grace and mercy. I was like,
I think he had a ring on too.
He did. He had a cock ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Marcus, I see you're a little bit surprised at that. So yeah, I know you're gonna have a Google session after we record this. You're gonna be like typing it all in.
Typing it all in.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's all we have for today. I want to thank the Gorgeois for joining us in the chat. I want to urge you guys to join us on the Patreon so that you can watch Splitting the Bill. I actually have to put the Splitting the Bill link in the Discord, but I will have that for you soon. And we are going to jump into some other topics that we have. And again, thank you, Ty, for joining us. And I'm Jared D. King. We've at Jared D. King on Twitter. Marcus is at Loose as a Deuce. Ty is at Ty McKinney. Mm-hmm. And we will see you in 2 weeks, because I think next week is Memorial Day and I ain't going to be here with y'all. I'm going to be enjoying myself. So y'all enjoy yourself too, okay?